Good morning, Shelbyville Church.
Good
morning. And a special big thank you to the ladies in my family for their special music. You know, in these hymns that we sing, there's a message. It's a whole sermon in itself. And, you know, we need to pay attention to the words when we sing these hymns, because there's something in there for us. Sermon today, I want to talk about leprosy. In the youth Sabbath school over a few weeks ago, we talked about leprosy and the leper that came to Jesus. And there were so many lessons in there. I thought, I'm going to share some of these lessons with you. So let's start in with what is leprosy. First of all, leprosy is caused by a bacterial infection. Actually, there's a number of different types of bacteria, one of which, the most common, is Mycobacterium leprae. And I don't expect any of you have seen a leper. Have any of you actually seen a leper before, a real live leper? You know, there is leprosy in the States, and it's mostly, I guess, spread by the nine-banded armadillo. But with modern drugs so powerful and prevalent today, leprosy is dealt with very quickly, and you don't see the disfigurement that I am used to seeing in Africa, where leprosy sometimes goes for years untreated. And I have seen lepers with no fingers, just little nubs on their fingers, no toes. Leprosy will eat away their noses and their eyebrows, very disfiguring. Leprosy, the symptoms of leprosy, first of all start out as a numb area on a person's skin. Somewhere on their skin, the nerves kind of die out on their skin and it becomes kind of white. And the leprosy progresses from there. Here's some pictures, kind of hard to look at, but you know, it's a disease which is extremely disfiguring. Leprosy consists of painless ulcers, skin lesions, hypopigmented macules, which is the white patches I was talking about, eye damage, including dryness and reduced blinking. And later on, large ulcerations, loss of digits, which means your toes and fingers are lost, and skin nodules and facial disfigurement. I have a few more pictures here. Here's a picture of a person's hands, a leper's hands. And this is a very old picture you'll find on the internet of leprous nodules on a person's face, very hard to look at. So in the days of Jesus, there was no cure for leprosy. The powerful drugs we have today just weren't in existence. But before I continue with that, I want to mention that the mission hospital where I met Joy, Malamula Hospital, we had a leper colony there. And it was a few miles away from the mission. They tried to keep the lepers isolated. They were kind of in quarantine, so they wouldn't spread leprosy to wherever they went. And it was actually a very nice facility there, but the people were isolated. And in years past, they treated their skin lesions and they gave them the medicines they had, which were not very effective. And the people actually lived in a leper colony, a leper village right there. But now with modern drugs, the treatment has moved out into the villages instead of isolating people, that treat them right where they are at home. Now, let's talk a little bit about keeping people in quarantine. You know, for the past week or more, my mom and dad have been hacking. They've been coughing. They had this terrible chest cough, and their voices have been lost, and they've just I'm sure a lot of you have been through this. It's been going the rounds. John, I know, has been through this experience. And Joy decided that the rest of us didn't want to catch it, and so she kind of kept them in isolation. She carried their food up and gave them their food in their rooms, and they've been kind of stuck in their rooms. I'm sure they didn't like that. Kind of isolated and away from the family, and it wasn't very nice for them. But for the rest of us, we've kind of escaped this, and I'm sure that of all people, Tom should be the happiest, because, you know, I could have called last night, Tom, you know, I can't talk, I've lost my voice, I need you to talk tomorrow. So Tom should at least be glad my mom and dad have been in isolation, because I have my voice today. Unfortunately for the leper, there was no cure in Jesus' days. This isolation was permanent. They lost their families. They lost their friends. They lost their religious community. They lost their homes. They lost their livelihood. And they were forced out of society. They had to go find some cave somewhere where they could live. They had to scrounge for food and beg wherever they could. When they were walking down the streets, they had to cry, unclean, unclean. And that was so that everybody could make room for them. If anyone touched a leper, they would become unclean themselves. And the possibility was that they would become leprous as well and be separated from society. And so leprosy has become a symbol for sin. And in the Jewish society, they believed that all the suffering and the pain that these lepers went through were a judgment from God. They'd obviously done something bad. And so the leper was ostracized because of that. When you and I touch a hot stove, what's our first reaction? We jump away, ouch, that hurt. And we stick our hands into cold water and try to get the pain gone. But the leper doesn't do that. You know, he'll be stoking his fire in Africa and cooking his food, and his hands will get into the flames, and he'll burn himself, and his fingers, you know, destroys the skin. He won't feel anything. It's like painless. And so a huge amount of damage is done to the leper's body because he doesn't feel the pain. In many ways, sin is like that. You know, when a person is involved in a sin, he may not feel the pain. He may think he's having fun, he may be enjoying himself, and think, man, this is the life, not realizing that he is doing permanent, long-term damage to himself. Because by disobeying God, we are separating ourselves from God, and we are losing out on something of eternal value. And so leprosy is like sin because we don't feel the pain right away. Sometimes that pain takes time to develop. So in a logical world, As a person shrinks and is disgusted by the disabilitating effects of leprosy, a person should also shrink from the effects of sin, from the temptation to sin. Just as we don't want to get involved with a leper because we might catch it, so a person should be hating and loathing sin because they don't want to get involved with something that's going to affect them so long-term and terribly. Just as the effects of leprosy disfigure and cause decay and death, so the effects of sin destroy lives and spiral the sinner into hopelessness and depression. But our story today, we've read in our scripture reading from Matthew, and I'm going to give you another version of it in Mark, deal with a leper in Jesus' day who had heard that there was a great healer in Israel. I can imagine in my mind's eye a small spark of hope just awakening in this poor leper's heart. Maybe if Jesus can heal, maybe he can heal me. And so one day when Jesus happened to be passing by in that district, he ventured closer. He probably stood a long ways off, but probably within earshot. And he was listening to the words that Jesus had to say, and he could see a sick person made well and standing and walking. He saw a blind person seeing for the first time. He saw a lame man leaping and walking and praising God. He saw paralytics get up off their mats and praising God. And he thought, man, if I can just get to this healer in Israel, maybe I can get healed. And so I can see that person kind of getting closer and closer to this big crowd of people milling around Jesus. And I'm sure as the law required, he was calling out, unclean, unclean, maybe a little quieter because he didn't want to scare people off. But as soon as people realized that there was a leper approaching, I can just see them falling over themselves and backwards to make way and get out of the way of this leper. And just as Moses parted the Red Sea, I can see this leper walking towards Jesus and the people just breaking away, just clearing this avenue for him. And so he walked straight to the feet of Jesus and he knelt down and he said, and I'm going to read about this in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." You know, this leper had been watching Jesus healing people, and he knew that Jesus could heal him. But he knew that the person who touched him would become unclean. And the disciples knew that, and they had been trying to keep Jesus away, but you know, Jesus would not back away from this leper. He said, "If you are willing," he said, "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The Bible says that Jesus was indignant. It says Jesus was indignant. I don't know. I tried to do some research on that. And some translations say Jesus had compassion on him. But Jesus, I think he hated to see the way this leper was treated in society. He was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. He said, "I am willing. Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I can just see in my mind's eye those missing fingers just sprouting out from his hands. I can see ulcers and lesions just being healed all over his body. And I can see his skin as clear and as healthy as a child's. Immediately this man was healed. Jesus knew that this man was still classified as a leper, and so he sent him away with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone," reading in verse 44, "but go and show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." But instead, this man went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Can you imagine the excitement that spread through Israel? Here is a man who can heal a leper, this person cursed of God. And Jesus knew that his ministry would be curtailed, would be cut back, because if word of his miracles got about too freely, but this man couldn't help himself. He was going to tell everybody what Jesus had done for him. When all others turned and fell over backwards and rushed to get away from Jesus, Jesus reached out his hand. He said to the man, "I am willing." And he touched him. Joy in our children's story today talked about the way Jesus answers prayer. You know, sometimes Jesus may say, "No, that's not a good thing for you. I'm not going to answer your prayer in the way you ask." He may say, "Yes, I'm going to help you. It's in your best interest." Or he may say, "Wait." But this is not the case when a repentant sinner comes to God for forgiveness? The answer is always yes. God never says wait to the repentant sinner. He says, I am willing. Be clean. God never turns away an honest seeker. And this is really our lesson that we have today. God is always willing to forgive sin. I want to talk a little bit about the man being sent back to the priest. Jesus sent the man back to the priest because he could only return to society if the priests examined the man and saw that he was indeed clean of leprosy. Now, according to the law of Moses, he had to go through certain rites which would show what was actually happening there. And in this case, the man had to bring two birds. He brought two birds to the priests. The first bird was sacrificed over a bowl with running water, or in other translations say over living water being poured water, was mixed together with the blood of the bird into this bowl. The second bird, the living bird, was taken out into a field, and this bowl of blood from the first bird was poured over the living bird, and then the living bird was set free and was free to fly away and live its life. And so it is that the sacrificed bird represents Jesus Christ. In this little lesson we have, Jesus Christ's blood was spilt so that the sinner could be made clean. The leper, the second bird represents the leper, or you and I as the sinner. And the blood of Jesus is poured on the sinner, and the guilty sinner is cleansed and is set free, that our sin may be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you a section from the Desire of Ages, page 266. Thus it is with the leprosy of sin. His presence has healing virtue for the sinner. Whoever will fall at his feet, saying in faith, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, shall hear the answer, I will, be thou clean. And continuing on page, Desire of Ages, page 266, in some instances of healing, Jesus did not at once grant the blessing sought, but in the case of leprosy, no sooner was the appeal made than it was granted. When we pray for earthly blessings, the answer to our prayer may be delayed, or God may give us something other than we ask. But not so when we ask for deliverance from sin. It is His will to cleanse us from sin, to make us His children, and to enable us to live a holy life. It is always God's will. God is always willing to heal us from sin. In Galatians 1:4 we read, Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And in 1 John 15:14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. When the leper came to Jesus, he did not claim past good deeds. He didn't present to Jesus some goodness in his own life that might influence Jesus to heal him. He hadn't done anything worthy to be healed. And the only thing that he brought, the only thing the leper had, was his great need. And that's all that Jesus requires of us, is our need. And it is our need that is our only claim on Jesus' mercy. For those of us sitting in our pews this morning, we may feel that we are living pretty good lives, that we may be pretty close to being translated. We may feel that we've done a lot of good things, and we may feel that we're not like this leper. Maybe there's some other sinner out there who needs to be touched and healed of our sin. But the Bible makes it very clear that it is the saint sitting in the pew, that's you and I, who are in need of the touch of the Savior, the person who can heal us from this leprosy of sin. I read in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's pretty clear, friends. You are not sinless. If we claim to be without sin, we are deceiving ourselves. But here's the good news. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In John 6, verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at that last day. It is the Father's will. When Jesus said, I am willing, he was reflecting the Father's will in heaven. It is the Father's will that every one of us who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And that is the good news we have today. For every one of us is a leper in need of the touch from our Savior. No matter the ulcers and missing parts that we might have, no matter the stench of ulcers and the pain we have gone through, the truth is that if we recognize our need, if we realize it is only our need that we can present to him and humbly ask him, he is willing and he is more than able to cover us and restore us back to him. Our closing hymn this afternoon is a prayer that the leper might have prayed. Our hymn is number 569, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. When the Savior passed that way through Israel, the leper may have prayed this prayer. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Please sing with me hymn number 569.